Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Terrorist rock star Hamza bin Laden believed dead. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Yes, Hamza bin Laden, the son of Osama, is believed dead. We can't be sure of anything with him or some other famous terrorists because there's been a whole mystery about his life. But it was announced that some information has been gathered, let's put it that way, that he is indeed dead. Now, before I get into details about Hamza bin Laden and why we should care, let me tell you some other things about him. First of all, some questions about him. First of all, there are questions about his death, if he is dead or not. And the people who have been following Al-Qaeda closely, researchers, said that if Hamza is dead or and has been dead, the thinking now is that he may have been dead for 1 to 2 years. In other words, sometimes during the Trump administration, he died. And presumably, or it is thought that he died at the U.S.'s hands, or at least the U.S. had something to do with it. Again, all rather a mystery. But so the question is, one of the questions is, why didn't Al-Qaeda put out a eulogy before today? And it's not even clear that they necessarily put out a eulogy, but they are letting it be known that he died. It was reported because U.S. intelligence officials first overheard, do I believe he's dead? Yes, probably. But there's so much that I can't tell you exactly. I'm like President Trump. When he was asked about this, he refused to make a comment. Of course, that's rather interesting because you would think that if he died and it was because of the U.S. or helped by the U.S., that President Trump would be the first one to tweet about it and be proud that this happened during his administration. So again, it's lots of questions. But supposedly U.S. intelligence officials overheard Al-Qaeda members discussing whether to keep it a secret that Hamza died. At some time during these past 2 years. And then now it is thought of as being confirmed, or at least more thought of as being confirmed. It's thought one of the theories is that he was killed in an airstrike. Also that he may have been killed in a military operation that was actually targeting somebody else. The location of where he was killed or died has not been revealed. So with that, so let me ask you some questions. This is my big question, and it really is a big concern because, this really goes to the heart of a lot of what I talk about on the Terrorist Therapist Show, which is trying to wake people up in their denial of terrorism, denial of the fact that there is still a terrorist threat, and not to wake people up to scare them, to send them running for their bed and under the covers, but rather to wake you all up so that you start preparing. And I'm not talking about buying duct tape or stocking up with supplies, although you may want to do that. But I'm talking about preparing yourself physically and psychologically for the fact that there may well be another attack. I've talked about that from time to time in these podcasts, in these shows. And that is, bears repeating that that is one of my main message to you all, that really you shouldn't be just sitting there sipping your lattes and thinking that nothing will ever happen again, even now that the son of Osama bin Laden is dead, we think. So why aren't we making more of a big deal of it? Maybe you heard about it in the news, maybe you didn't. I've talked to a lot of people who knew nothing about this, people who are smart and usually tuned in to what's going on. But on Google News, for example, it was down on the page. It wasn't like a big deal. And so why aren't we making more of a big deal? One thing you could say is because his life was a mystery. There are all kinds of factoids coming out that really, you know, the family, one part of the family denies this and one part of the family denies that, like about his marriages, who he married and so on. Another reason why we might not be making more of a big deal of it is because we're afraid to believe that he actually did die, because there have been so many other reports of terrorists in high positions, including him, who died, and then it turned out later that it wasn't true. For example, with Hamza, he was mistakenly pronounced dead before. For example, it was said that when in 2011, when the Navy SEALs committed the raid to kill his father, they said that Hamza had been killed in that raid too, and it wasn't true. And then even 2 years ago, there was a failed attempt to kill him, and it was reported that he was dead, and then it turned out that he wasn't dead. So that could be one reason why we don't want to get too excited, and only to find out that indeed he isn't dead. And then, of course, there is the fact that a quarter of the population in America weren't born at the time of 9/11. This was something that Vice President Pence said in a speech on one of the anniversaries of 9/11. And it's really kind of a shocking statistic. And why it's shocking or concerning is because the more people who weren't alive during that time, not that they still haven't been affected by their parents being alive during that time, it's easier to forget about something if you haven't if you weren't alive at the time of the trauma. So, you know, it's easier for people who weren't born, and it is apparently too easy for people who were alive then to forget about it. And not, oh, well, the son of Osama bin Laden, who was that again? Osama, yeah, that name sounds familiar. And then another reason why we aren't making such a fuss over it or aren't paying attention to it, why it's low down on the page on Google, for example, is because we like to think of terrorism as something happening over there, over there, the Middle East, Africa, even Western Europe, but over there, it's not in the U.S. Of course, if you're in Western Europe, you do have a little bit more of a sense of it happening in your midst. But still, we should be, there should be some kind of a more of a major reaction than we are having. So I would think at least that we would be singing, you know, even the Munchkins, when the house in the Wizard of Oz, when the house landed on the witch, Wicked Witch, even the Munchkins sang, ding dong, the witch is dead, witch old witch, the witch wicked witch, ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Well, you know, why aren't we out in the streets singing ding dong, the wicked witch is dead in regard to Hamza bin Laden? And if you think that he isn't a wicked witch, that he's just, well, first of all, he's a millennial, he's in his 30s. They don't even have an exact date of his birth. That's how much mystery he is shrouded in. But if you think that he is not a wicked witch, you are wrong. And I will tell you more about that, what he has done. He hasn't perpetrated an attack as big as 9/11. We all know that. But he has been having quite an impact because of his name I mean, because of his sentiments also, he is determined to avenge the death of his father. But even before that, when he was at his father's knee, he was even then believing in the same things that his father believed in. His father taught him well. And then after his father was killed in our raid, then he was even more determined, Hamza was, to kill Americans, destroy America, destroy the West, also destroy Israel. Because of what he had learned, and because now he had even more of a reason to put these teachings into action. So when we come back, we'll talk more about the Wicked Witch. I mean, Hamza. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'm offending somebody by laughing about this man being dead. But really, really, when you hear about some of the things that he did do in his relatively young life, you won't think I'm so awful. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about Hamza bin Laden, who has been called the terrorist rock star. He is the son of Osama bin Laden, the head of Al-Qaeda, and the now deceased head of Al-Qaeda, and of course, the mastermind behind 9/11. I was overcome by pangs of guilt when I was singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead in the first segment. But, you know, when you think about, I mean, yes, it's sad when anybody dies to some degree, but I mean, he was a husband and, you know, he had a family. But at the same time, when you think about the more than 3,000 people who died in 9/11, and the people, more than 3,000 who are dying since 9/11 because of working at Ground Zero, it is hard to have too much sympathy for him. Although I guess one can understand how, you know, as a psychiatrist, of course, the psychiatrist in me looks at him, to be fair, as the influences on him, his childhood influences, you know, when he was a boy at the foot of his father, Osama. And apparently he was with his father, actually, as his father was planning 9/11. So when he was a boy, even, he was in propaganda films for Al-Qaeda, you know, led by his father, of course. He preached jihad even as a young boy. He trained with fighters, and he was introduced as a voice of Al-Qaeda. He was called a young lion to carry forth the cause. And that's really the key here. Although he hasn't perpetrated a 9/11, and I said I'm going to be telling you some of the things he has done, but he hasn't done anything as, you know, dramatic as 9/11 and as deadly as 9/11. But the significance of him is that he was considered a terrorist rock star. He was the terrorist hope, so to speak. He was looked upon as someone who was going to make Al-Qaeda continue to be relevant, you know, getting young blood into Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has been, while we've been paying attention to ISIS, Al-Qaeda has actually not been quiet. You know, they haven't been sitting around twiddling their toes. They actually have been making progress, setting up plans and making inroads in other parts of the world and rebuilding Al-Qaeda. So but the leaders of Al-Qaeda, the other leaders of Al-Qaeda were older and didn't have as much pizzazz or branding. He had better branding being the son of Osama bin Laden. And so when he made audio and video recordings telling people to become lone wolves and attack the West, he had more clout, was more impressive, you know, if you're being told to do these things by the son of Osama bin Laden, rather than by somebody else, a leader in Al-Qaeda, whose name you can't even pronounce. So even though, as I said, he hadn't in his 30 some odd years yet done something that was as dramatic, and didn't have plans unveiled of something that was as dramatic. Still, and he served a very, very important function in being the voice, literally the voice, in audio messages that were sent out by Al-Qaeda and video messages. And let me tell you one of the things that was particularly of concern, and let me find this. Well, I'll tell you more about it later, but one thing that was just pretty unbelievable was that he put out a message right before the attack in Manchester. And although it has been said that they weren't able to find a direct link between his message and the terrorist who carried out the Manchester attack, and I've talked about that, about his brother being extradited to the UK in just a recent previous podcast. And now here, it's at 10 days before the Manchester bombing in 2017, he, Hamza, put out through, you know, Al-Qaeda PR, put out an audio recording that called for supporters to strike against Jews and Crusaders. Now, you know, the UK investigators haven't been able to find a definite link, but is it possible that the terrorist who perpetrated the Manchester concert attack, the Ariana Grande attack, heard Hamza put out this call? Very much so, because he was listening to, you know, he was clued in to all of these terrorist kinds of propaganda, terrorist things on the internet that they were advising people to do. So of course it's possible. You know, would he have done it anyway? Perhaps. But if he did hear it, it certainly could have been something that helped to propel him to actually finally do it, you know, to take that final step. So there have been several recordings, for example, and most of these have been found to be recorded or to have been done in 2015. For example, he released an audio message in 2015 that called upon followers in Kabul, Baghdad, and Gaza to wage jihad in Washington, London, Paris, and Tel Aviv. Now, it's interesting because you'll hear in these various audio messages, and I'll tell you about some of them. I don't think we have all of them. I think there were more even than what I'm going to be telling you. But what I'm telling you is sufficient to make the point that, you know, he was a bad man who was intent not only on committing jihad because of what he learned at the foot of his father, but also to avenge his father's death. So then, for example, in May 2016, he focused on Palestine and the Syrian civil war in his message. He said that the, quote, blessed Syrian revolution, unquote, made the prospect of, quote, liberating, unquote, Jerusalem more likely. Quote, the Islamic Ummah, the Islamic nation, should focus on jihad in al-Sham, in Syria, and unite the ranks of Mujahideen there. There is no longer an excuse for those who insist on division and disputes now that the whole world has mobilized against Muslims, unquote. So, you know, the more things that happened, the more the West, America, and so on got involved in the war on terror, the more, of course, he and other terrorists have used that as the reason why the West should die. Then there was an audio message in 2016, in July 2016, the one I just read was May 2016, threatening the United States in revenge for his father's death. I mean, all of it was really revenge, but in this one, he made a 21-minute speech, and he called it, "We Are All Osama." Quote, "We will continue striking you and targeting you in your country and abroad in response to your oppression of the people of Palestine, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Somalia, and the rest of the Muslim lands that did not survive your oppression. As for the revenge by the Islamic nation for Sheikh Osama, may Allah have mercy on him. It is not revenge for Osama, the person, but it is revenge for those who defended Islam." Then in May 2017, there was another recording, and it encouraged terrorist attacks against Western targets, which is the point of all of his recordings. And then he made a video in May 2017 calling for followers to attack Jews, Americans, Westerners, and Russians through lone wolf attacks. And then what's interesting is that even though now they're saying that he probably died in the was killed in the first 2 years of Trump's presidency, they are in February 2019. So in other words, technically beyond the first 2 years, the United States Department of State offered a reward up to $1 million for information leading to the identification or location in any country of Hamza bin Laden. So they put a wanted ad out for him, you know, wanted any information that would help the U.S. to kill him. Although I guess perhaps we would have liked, it might have been more useful to capture him, but I guess that would have been a lot more difficult. So even though he may well have been dead, reports are saying that they think he was already dead when the State Department offered this reward. Still, that is the degree of danger that the U.S. thought that Hamza represented at that time. So we will get more into the story of Hamza and what this means for Al-Qaeda and the threat of terrorism for us. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about the death, we think, of Hamza bin Laden, the son of Osama bin Laden, called the terrorist rock star, thought to be an essential part of the resurgence of Al-Qaeda. In particular, you know, Al-Qaeda has been sort of... I don't know if dancing is probably maybe, well, I don't know. I was going to say maybe dancing is too strong of a word, but maybe not really. At the fall of the caliphate, certainly Al-Qaeda was rejoicing, shall we say, at their downfall because it was planning on making a comeback and becoming the most powerful terrorist organization like it was at the time of 9/11. So Hamza was really considered to be a very important part of this comeback because he had the name bin Laden, because he was younger than the other leaders, and because they thought he would have a lot more impact reaching out in his propaganda messages, some of which I have been reading to you. I mean, the bottom line, he was doing audio and video messages since at least 2015, and actually it is likely, and there are some reports that some messages even came before that, but all the messages had, even though different ones mentioned different countries, targeted different countries with the message of kill, you know, attack, trying to get lone wolves to attack. They were all either the U.S. or American allies, although he did mention Russia there too. He was an equal opportunity terrorist to some degree. In any case, let me bring you a little bit into his connection, his relationship with his father, which, you know, will probably give you some more sympathy for him than he probably deserves. But anyhow, in 2008, for example, he wrote a poem. Hamza wrote a poem, and he wrote, and it was published on an extremist Islamic website, and he wrote, and this is the translation, of course, "Accelerate the destruction of America, Britain, France, and Denmark." And that was when, it was after this poem that a British MP dubbed him, dubbed Hamza, the Crown Prince of Terror. So, you know, that's, he was called the Lion, he was called the Crown Prince, and he was the young stud who was going to make Al-Qaeda not only relevant again, but to become the leader over ISIS, to become more powerful and dangerous and deadly than ISIS. So let me tell you now some of the things that, in terms of his relationship with his father. In April 2011, so right before the raid that killed Osama bin Laden, there was an Al-Qaeda operative who is called, or given the name, we don't know if it's his real name, named Mahmoud. And he wrote to Osama that he was trying to smuggle Hamza, who was one of Osama's many children, trying to smuggle Hamza to see him, to meet with Osama. And he wrote, Mahmoud wrote, "I have tried to find a way to send him to you on the main road, but I was not able to find one due to the intensified security procedures and searches." After 9/11, Osama sent his wives and his children to Iran. And after 9/11 and after the U.S. military operations against Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, Osama sent them to Iran because he thought they would be safer there. So this included Hamza. And Hamza wrote to his father in July 2009, that he was very sad that he was, quote, "separated from you when I was a small child, not yet 13. You might not recognize me when you meet me, as my features have changed. But what truly makes me sad is the Mujahideen legions have marched and I have not joined them." So now this is, we're talking about, you know, July, in, already in 2009, he was already admitting or saying that he was sorry that he wasn't able to be an active fighter. During, you know, and other reports have said there are documents that they found when they raided, when they killed Osama and they raided his compound, they found lots of documents and things that expressed love of Osama towards Hamza. He was his favorite son. And he, Osama, actually planned and hoped that Hamza would be the leader in his place. You know, I mean, he didn't know that he was going to be killed soon, but although he was in hiding and really knew that people were looking for him for years, but he wanted him to take over as the leader of Al-Qaeda when the time came. And Hamza wanted to. So this all didn't just happen in these last few years. This was a plan from the time almost that Hamza was born, that he was to become Al-Qaeda's leader. So then there was a letter from, another letter from Mahmoud, who described Hamza, a letter to Osama, describing Hamza as, quote, "very sweet and good." But he said that he thought Hamza was getting depressed. This was in 2010. It was before the other letter. And Mahmoud wrote, "He comes back to me asking me that he should be trained and participated in giving. He does not want to be treated with favoritism because he is the son of someone. I promised him to plan some safe training for him, firing arms and with various weapons." And so it's in the end, it was the it's not clear whether Hamza ever saw his father again before the U.S. raid on Osama's compound that killed Osama. So, you know, yes, this is the human element, a father who wants his son to, you know, Al-Qaeda and son, or Osama and son, or You know, kind of just, you know, like plumbers and electricians, Smith and Son, right? Oh, I know. I black humor is therapeutic. In any case, we are fairly certain that he is dead. And now the question is what impact this is going to have. So there's all kinds of controversy about that. Some people think it's going to have no impact because he didn't really do anything. And I mean, other than he didn't do anything, he made all these audio and video messages that influenced, we don't know how many people really. Still, people who listen to Hamza bin Laden's audio and video messages are still out there in the world and still influenced by him. And not only that, but now that he is dead, he's a martyr. So this is going to be influencing lone wolves even more now than if he hadn't been killed. So some people are saying that his death, you know, means nothing. Some people are saying that it ends the jihadist hopes of a dynasty, a bin Laden dynasty. Other people are saying that, there's questions about whether there is suggestion. Some people are suggesting that Hamza may well have been open to a merger with ISIS. Now, these rumors, actually, or, you know, these reports that came from, I don't know which sources. I mean, nobody knows which sources exactly, or they're not telling. But that's a very interesting possibility that, and it is perhaps more likely than, since it's a new generation and all of that, it is more likely certainly than Osama going along with, you know, joining with ISIS or any other kind of terror organization. I'm just making sure I told you all the things that I wanted to tell you. I'm looking through my notes here. So again, I've told you the main parts of this. And so, as sad as it is in a way that anybody dies who has family who are going to miss them, still, in terms of the threat of Al-Qaeda for us, probably this, other than the fact that this may well, I mean, it's kind of, the jury is still out, really, because yes, they did lose a significant spokesperson, somebody with a brand, somebody with clout, somebody, you know, with a lot of influence. Because of his name, bin Laden, and because of this story of his father wanting him to be the one to carry on his legacy, you know, that's a lot of power. And now, of course, because he is a martyr, because we theoretically or possibly killed him. So that will make him even more of an influential figure, except for the fact that now he is not going to be able to make more audio and video messages. Although, just like they did with Osama, you know, things may well come out from Al-Qaeda saying that this is what Hamza wrote, or this is what he said, or, you know, it is a little difficult to fake his voice, although, you know, that has been done before with terrorists. It may well happen again that we do hear some continuing messages that were purportedly from Hamza. In any case, we will see what the impact is, but certainly I'll tell you one thing. There should have been more of an impact on us, even if we are just talking to each other and asking these questions that I brought up. We should be talking about it. We should be thinking about it, not to the point of not enjoying our lives. Indeed, we very much need to make every moment count, but we can't pretend that these kinds of things aren't important. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.